thank you that you have worked in our hearts to see Jesus as being glorious, and to desire to see his glory be proclaimed throughout all the world. And so we are pleased, we are privileged to be counted in that number of redeemed sinners made saints through the new life through faith in Jesus Christ. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to you we come. And we say, be magnified among us. Be magnified before us, Lord. Meet us in this time of worship. Meet with us always through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, we pray. And as a result of that, may people see our lives in the way in which we live as dependent, redeemed people, trusting wholly in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. And as a result of that, may they give glory to you. Amen. Be seated. Reflect upon your week this week. And if it was a movie, and the world was watching it, would that have given glory to Christ? Knowing you, many moments in this week would have. But if we are truthful, we all would have had moments too that maybe were attempts to bring glory to ourselves or denied opportunities for the Lord to receive glory because of the way in which we were living in ways of the world rather than His. The Lord invites us to live these lives that are reflections of His redeeming work, to abide in Him, to remember our ongoing need of Him, to give thanks to Him as He leads us into renewed repentance and faith. Some scripture that encourages us to that end is Psalm 1 and Isaiah 55. Blessed is the man or the woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We deserve to perish because of wicked things that we do. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that Jesus Christ came and gave his life to redeem people such as you and I, who all too often may engage in unrighteousness, and he has caused us to become his righteousness through his redeeming work. Therefore, as those who have been redeemed by the righteous one, let's confess our unrighteous ways and ask him to continue to grow us in righteousness. Pray with me. Lord God, you are a faithful God, but we are often not faithful. You are a God who has worked great and mighty deeds on behalf of his people, but we often fail to appreciate those deeds as we ought. You have called us to teach our children to walk in your ways, but so often, not only do we not rightly teach our children to obey your commandments, but we ourselves refuse to walk in the way we should. We confess that this is evil and wrong for us to do so. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. For although our sins are great, your mercy is greater for all those who receive you and submit to you as their God and Savior. Work repentance in our hearts and renew us in faith, so that we would embrace the rule of Christ over our lives, both now and forevermore. In his name we pray. Amen. Now join me in confessing our sins and repenting of them. Although we deserve to be cast away from the Lord because of our sins, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that he drew near to us so that we might draw near to him. John 1, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. And Lord, at that ladies' study, the women will be studying a book called Abide, where they will seek to respond to your invitation in John 15 for them, for us all, to abide in you. What a profound privilege that is. We thank you that you are the God who invites us and you make it possible for us to abide. We thank you that you are the God who abides with and in us through the person and the work of Jesus Christ and the person and work of the Holy Spirit, whom you have given to us, who unites us to faith, to you, who is a down payment of all of the promises in Scripture that have been made to us until we acquire full possession. Jesus, we pray that your abiding spirit would be at work in us, preserving us, illuminating the glories of Christ and the Father to us, empowering us for life and for ministry. For you tell us that apart from you, we can do nothing. We can produce no fruit if we are apart from the vine, but if we are abiding in you, you will cause us to produce much fruit. And by that, Jesus, you say your Father in heaven will be glorified. Be glorified, Father and Son and Spirit, as we abide in and with you. As we walk and live by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. We thank you that you are the God who delights to receive us to yourself. Lord, comfort all of us who have lost someone dear. And Spirit, come alongside us. And be our counselor and our friend, our comforter. Thank you that other college students are with us today. Lord, for those whose school year has not yet completed, whether grade school or high school or college or homeschool, whatever it may be, we pray that they would finish the year well. For students from around the country who participate in Reform University Fellowship, RUF, we pray, Lord, that this summer conference in Florida will be a time where they will meet you in a glorious way. Lord, bring scenes of the throne room of God near to them. May they see you exalted, lifted high, and glorious. And may they respond with worship. Lord, we thank you for visitors who are with us this morning, as well as those who have been part of this community of faith for more than 70 years. Lord, thank you that you have brought us together to learn from one another how to trust in you. We continue praying now. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now let's take some time to visit one another, greet one another in the name of the Lord. I always hate interrupting or visiting. A great part of our worship service is the joyful noise that you make as you visit with one another. It's now that time in our service where we continue to worship the Lord, now through the giving of tithes and offerings. If you're visiting with us, do not feel compelled that I have to give. You are our guest. But the rest of you, come on, get those wallets. We're encouraged to give back to the Lord, giving thanks to Him for the many ways that He has given so abundantly to us for all of our spiritual and physical needs. We're encouraged to do so today from Psalm 116. What shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits to me? I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of His people.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from
mercies that you've and all the gifts that you've showered down upon us and all the blessings that you've given to us. And now we ask that you accept these tithes and offerings for the work of your church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Be seated. Lord, we also give thanks to you for your holy word, for your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to pour out your Holy Spirit in full measure upon us, Lord, so that we would have a full appreciation, particularly this day, of your ascension. And that as a result of that, Lord, that we would worship you more continually. Show yourself to us as the one who is high and exalted. Do that this day. Do that every day, we pray. Well, in my message last week and over these last several weeks, I've made reference that I think that most of us have a pretty good handle on why Christ was crucified. He was crucified. He went to the cross to give his life as a substitute for ours. Ever since our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, mankind has been slaves to sin and has lived in rebellion against God. God sent his son to be born of a woman to win back that which was lost. God the Son took on human flesh and lived among us and perfectly fulfilled the law of God in ways that we have not and in ways that we could not, in ways that we would not. But Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law of God. He served as our representative. He served as our substitute. And although he committed no sin, he went to the cross to pay the penalty that our sins deserve. That's the why of the incarnation. That's the why of the crucifixion. And then in his resurrection, we see that Christ defeated our greatest enemies. He defeated sin. He defeated death. He defeated Satan. He defeated the grave. Christ is to be glorified in his life. Christ glorified in his death. Christ glorified in his resurrection. And a result of that, according to Luke 24:41, for the disciple, for the follower of Jesus, is great joy. The resurrection of Jesus, that passage says, is reason for great joy. And according to Luke 24:52, the ascension of Jesus is also reason for great joy. Reason for great joy, reason also for great worship of our ascended Jesus. I made the point last week that Scripture communicates to us that because Jesus was ascended up into heaven and was welcomed into the presence of the Father, we can be confident that we too will be received into the Father's presence. That's just one aspect of the importance of the ascension of Jesus. Look at your worship bulletin, if you would, and please keep that handy throughout our message as we look at some of these passages that are printed out there. We looked at a couple of these passages last week, and we'll continue to build on them more today. Christ's ascension, his return to his Father, occurred 40 days after his resurrection. And Luke tells us in Luke 24:50 that he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Continuing with verse 52, he said, and they worshiped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The ascension of Jesus is reason for great joy. The ascension of Jesus is reason for great worship. Some of the observations that we made last week include the following, and that was that the ascension of Jesus demonstrated that his work of redemption was complete. That the ascension of Jesus marks his return to the Father. And that in the ascension of Jesus, God the Son is exalted again, as he was before the incarnation. But that in the ascension, the God-man Jesus was exalted also in a new way. as Jesus was exalted, humanity was also exalted with him in a way like never before. We also saw last week that Jesus tells us that it was necessary for him to return to the Father so that he could send the Spirit. We also considered how in the ascension of Jesus, the divine attribute of omnipresence was restored to God the Son. And because of that, he's now able to help all those who call upon him at any time and from any place. Those are all reasons that it was important for Jesus to be raised up again to the Father. It was also important for Jesus to ascend to the Father so that he could begin his present, active, ongoing heavenly ministries for the sake of his people. Jesus is active. Right now, Jesus is present at the right hand of the Father, actively working on the behalf of his people. Actively working on your behalf as well if you trust in him for your salvation and eternal life. Right now, Jesus actively working on your behalf. And that's going to be the focus of our message this morning. The present, ongoing heavenly ministries of Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't just ascend up into heaven and kind of kick off his shoes. Jesus isn't just sitting in heaven chilling. But Jesus is actively, continually, eternally working on your behalf from his throne in heaven. What are some of those things that Jesus is doing as part of that ongoing ministry to you? Well, right now, Jesus is ruling over all of his creation. Ephesians 1, 20 through 23. He raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The Father's put all things under his feet. God raised him from the dead, Paul says in this passage from Ephesians 1, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And of course, we remember the Great Commission from Matthew 28, 18. Where Jesus declares, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. Jesus is the supreme authority. He is the supreme ruler, ruling over all things. 1 Peter 3:22, Jesus has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels and authorities and powers subject to him. And right now, Hebrews 1:3 says that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Jesus is ruling over all of creation. He's ruling over all things. And that's reason for great joy and for great worship. And this one who rules over all creation, this one who has all power and authority, is your friend, your elder brother, Scripture says, if you trust in him for your salvation. Jesus rules over all creation. Jesus is also ruling over his church. We see that in that passage from Ephesians 1 as well. Ephesians 1:22. He put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We see his authority over the church revealed throughout the book of Revelation, where Jesus is pictured as walking among the golden lampstands, which are his church, speaking to them, calling them to repentance, calling us to submit to his rule and to honor him. Jesus rules over all of creation. Jesus rules over his church. Because of his ascension, Scripture says, Jesus is able to pour out his Holy Spirit upon the church. He's able to pour out his Spirit upon his people, even you and I. That's what Peter declares on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was given to the church with power. In Acts 2, 32 and 33, Peter says, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured this out, which you yourselves are now seeing and hearing." And if you've tasted the sweetness of the Spirit, you know that the giving of the Holy Spirit is reason for great joy and great worship. Spirit unites us to Christ. He gives us new life in Christ. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit actively working in us in which we're enabled to live this Christian life and to rightly worship the Lord. From his throne in heaven, Jesus also provides for his church. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 tells us one way that Jesus provides to his church. And that passage saying, "And he's given the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And friends, that's yet another reason for great joy and great worship. That God the Father and God the Son have given us, they've given us to each other, to serve one another, to love one another, to encourage one another, to sharpen one another. He's given us to one another to bear one another's burdens and to restore one another, as we're told in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. The Lord's given us to one another to help build one another up in Christ. Jesus provides for his church from his throne in heaven. From his throne in heaven, Jesus also enters into our pain and sympathizes with our weaknesses. Look again at that passage in Scripture from Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. "Since then we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens." That's the ascension. It's the incarnation and the ascension. "We have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession of faith. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." One of the results of the incarnation, one of the results of God the Son taking on flesh and then returning to the Father, is that he understands our pain. He knows what it's like from a human perspective, from that human perspective which he lived. He knows what it's like to live in this broken, fallen world. Jesus knows what it's like to experience pain. He knows what it's like for a loved one to die. He knows what it feels like to be rejected or to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be human. And because of all that, Scripture says here that He has a special kind of compassion upon us. And that He's able to sympathize with us compassionately, completely. But thanks be to God, not only is Jesus able to sympathize with us, but He's also able to do something for us. Again, Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. It's wonderful that Jesus sympathizes with us. But Jesus doesn't only sympathize with us. But from His throne of grace in heaven, He's able to give us what we need in our times of trouble, in our times of weakness. From His throne of grace in heaven, Jesus gives us mercy and grace in those times of difficulties, in those times of need. And so don't neglect this privilege and the resources that He's willing and able to give to you. But do as this verse invites you to. Approach His throne of grace in heaven confidently, knowing that He's given His life to redeem you. And if He's given His very life for you, is there anything that He will withhold from you? Romans 8:12, which speaks of the disposition of the Father and the Son towards you. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? And what else does Jesus do as a result of His present ongoing ministry to us in heaven? He intercedes for us. To intercede means that one intervenes or acts or make requests on behalf of another. And Scripture tells us that this is what Jesus does for us. And He does this on an ongoing basis. On a present, ongoing basis. Continually interceding for us with the Father. That's what Scripture demands is true. That Jesus stands ever before the Father in heaven, interceding for us, pleading His blood, His merit over us, testifying to the Father that He died for us and that we are His. Hebrews 9:24, Jesus entered into heaven to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. And Romans 8:34, Christ Jesus has been raised and is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Christ knows what you need. And He stands ever before the Father, asking the Father that He would give you that which you need. That He would give you that which you truly most need for your salvation, for your holiness, and for your growth in Christ-likeness. If you're looking to Him for your salvation, Jesus is your God and your King. But if He's your greatest treasure, He's also your brother, your dearest friend, your good shepherd. And your good shepherd seeks and desires and works for your greatest and most important spiritual and eternal blessing. And He's not just able to work for it, but He also secures it and gives that to you. We need these things. We need Christ's present, ongoing, heavenly ministries. And He's pleased to do that for us, to give us that. Hebrews 7:24 and 25 ties the ongoing intercessory ministry of Jesus to our eternal security. There we're told that Jesus holds his priesthood presently because He continues forever. The writer of Hebrews saying, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus intercedes for us. Jesus saves to the uttermost for us. Jesus also keeps us from stumbling. He keeps us from falling away, finally or fatally. Jude 24, he is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory. In his kindness and in his faithfulness, the Lord Jesus intercedes for us like this from his position in heaven at the Father's right hand. And because of the Father's compassion and goodness, he lavishes us with the benefits of salvation. And let that encourage you. Let that carry you throughout all your life. Think upon these things. Be joyful because of these things. And thank your God in heaven for them and for who he is. And give him your allegiance and give him your worship. Him alone should we serve. To him alone should we give our hearts. See him and make him your greatest treasure. Treasure him above all else. And commit yourselves with all of your being to walking with him faithfully for a lifetime. Walk with Jesus for a lifetime, enabled to do that because of his present, ongoing heavenly ministries to you. And through his presence with us, through his Holy Spirit, who, by the way, produces in us as we abide in him the spiritual fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As you abide in Jesus, as you find your joy and your hope and your confidence in him, allow that to move you outward, to proclaim his excellency. To your friends, to your co-workers, to your family, to your brothers and sisters in Christ here at Newport and elsewhere. Trusting in his sovereignty, trusting in his kindness and his goodness, that he will indeed accomplish all of his sovereign purposes in your life and in the world and in the lives of those who you know and love. Trust that as you faithfully speak of Christ's glory, of his majesty and his goodness to others, trust that the Lord of the harvest will be motivated and that he is able to save all of those for whom he's died and rose again, that he will give them eternal life through faith in him. He enables us and calls us to go out. And we go out equipped with his power. And we go out bearing his authority. We go out knowing that our witnessing doesn't depend upon us or our ability to change hearts and minds. But we go out confidently knowing the one who will do that even in and through our weakness. And we rest that he's able to accomplish his holy will, not only for our lives, but also for those to whom we testify about. And he's able to do all that. He's able to accomplish his sovereign will for the world. He's able to accomplish his sovereign world, his sovereign will in the lives of those to whom we witness. And he's able to accomplish his sovereign will in and through us as well. And it's all because of his ongoing heavenly ministries to us. Pray with me again. Jesus, we thank you for your many ministries to us. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the God who serves his people. You said during your earthly ministry that the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Thank you for the way that you served us during your time on earth. Thank you for the way that you continue to serve us from your throne in heaven. And Lord, may an understanding of these ongoing heavenly ministries of yours lead us into great joy and great worship continually. We worship you because of who you are and because of all of these things. Be glorified. Well, let's now, as God's redeemed people, who know the sweetness that it is to know this God, to be brought near to the Father through the work of the Son, let's stand and confess our common faith. You see the Apostles' Creed there in your bulletin. Christian, I ask you, what is it that you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, was born of the Virgin Mary, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Be seated. I'll invite the elders to come forward as we prepare to partake of communion. We've been talking about all these varied ministries that Jesus is continually doing for his people, for us. He's able to do that because he's been raised up into heaven. But we remember that before Jesus could be raised up into heaven, he was first raised up. That's what we've seen shown forth in this meal that's set before you today. And as we partake of this meal, Jesus will be actively ministering to you in this very moment. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper and the blessing that Christ brings to us in it is yet another of his heavenly ministries to us. In this meal, Christ meets with us. He meets with us in the bread and in the cup. As we share in this meal, we're reminded that we're positioned with him right now in heaven with him. And from heaven, as we eat this bread and drink this juice, this wine, we feast upon him, and he nourishes us. We feast upon him not carnally, but spiritually, but yet also really. And as we do, he sends his blessing upon us, and he strengthens our faith. If your faith is that faith that we just confessed in the Apostles' Creed, and if your faith is a faith that is that of a baptized person in good standing in the evangelical church, then this meal is for you, and we invite you to join us as we partake of it. Our words of institution today for the Lord's Supper come to us from Luke 22. Where Luke writes and says, "And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And Jesus now sends his blessing upon all those who receive this meal in faith. Pray for me again. Lord God, we thank you, Jesus, for your work upon the cross, your work of redemption, for all of your work of your earthly ministry. And Jesus, we thank you also for your ongoing heavenly ministries to us. Lord, take these common elements of bread and juice and wine and set them apart for your holy purposes. Send your blessing upon them. And as we feed on them, may we feed on you. Satisfy us, Jesus. Give our appetites for you. Do not let us be satisfied with lesser things of this world. But Lord, give us your best. Train our tongues, our appetites, to desire that, to desire you above all. In doing so, strengthen us for a lifetime of walking with you. Again, on that night, the Lord took bread after giving thanks and said, this is my body, which is for you. Take and eat. Then likewise also, he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for the remission of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11, we're told that as often as we partake of this meal, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In this meal, as we take it, we also proclaim his resurrection and his ascension. And his ongoing heavenly ministries to us. The outermost cup of liquid is juice. The inner two rings is wine. The innermost row of crackers are gluten-free. And the others are regular. We'll distribute these. We ask, please keep them until all are served. And we'll partake them together. Brothers. From heaven, the Lord provides for you that which you need. Receive his provision. Take, eat, and drink. We remember on the cross, as his earthly work of redemption was completed, Jesus said those words, "It is finished." That was his earthly ministry. As we've discussed today, though, he still has much work that he is doing for us from his throne in heaven. Let's now stand, and we'll sing those words, which primarily are talking about his earthly ministry. But we recognize that we continue to need his finished work be applied to our lives. Jesus throughout all generations, now and forevermore. Amen.